About 100 years ago in 1925, the world was in a dark place. The Pope in Rome, Pius XI, was worried because the darkness of the world was caused by a handful of problems at that time. World War I had recently ended with untold bloodshed. I don't know how many millions died in that war. And the war was fought between nations that were predominantly Christian nations. So now Christians were fighting other Christians out of allegiance to their nationality, their country. And the political landscape was tense, and it didn't seem like peace would last long. And there was a growing secularism. And they were sweeping parts of the world, in Europe, in South America, North America, Mexico particularly. And so things were tense, and it didn't seem like the peace would last a long time. And because of this growing secularism fueled by atheistic regimes, Christ was being pushed out of the public square. And these are the problems that brought about today's feast. Pope Pius XI started this feast, and he said in his encyclical letter that if the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, and individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. And therefore, according to the Pope, peace could only be had on the basis of restoring the empire of our Lord. Christ needed to be proclaimed throughout the world, the whole world, as he is presented in the Bible as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is the reason for this feast day. However, keep in mind, Jesus is a different kind of king than the kings we're used to, kings of various countries and empires in this world. He's not like other kings at all. Rather than use his kingship for his own benefit, Christ uses his reign for our good. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, Christ exercises his kingship by drawing all men to himself through his death and resurrection. Christ, King and Lord of the universe, made himself the servant of all, for he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is why the Church offers us two readings in today's readings that show different sides to this kingship of Christ. One reflects the servant kingship of Jesus that we find in the Gospel reading. The other one reflects his divine rule over all the earth that we find in the reading from the book of Revelation, the second reading. And in this last book of the Bible, Revelation, Jesus is twice referred to as the King of Kings. However, we also have the reading from the Gospel about the Passion of Christ in his conversation Jesus has with Pontius Pilate, because Jesus is our King who was crucified. So Jesus is a new kind of king. And Jesus doesn't need the externals of kingship like a throne and ceremonies and armies and castles. These trappings are for the petty kings of this earth. But as a Christian today, we're invited to celebrate the King of Kings. And this feast day is the proclamation of the Church to the political world, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And we know that in the end, only a kingdom built on Christ will be an everlasting kingdom. This solemnity reminds us that while nations rise and fall, Christ reigns as king forever. Now, we hear the word apocalypse in the connection with the readings from Revelation, and that word is really misunderstood today. It has different connotations, I guess. That's part of it. In popular culture, the apocalypse is a bad thing with a violent end to the world, something that we should fear. It embodies death and fiery destruction, that kind of thing, you know. But we first have to recognize where the word comes from. It's a Greek word, apocalypse, In English, it's usually translated as revelation, but its literal meaning is unveiling, to remove the veil. And the apocalypse refers to the great unveiling which will occur. So what is it? What is the great unveiling? What's going to happen? What's the great unveiling? The great unveiling is the unveiling of Christ, who will come again. He has come once at his birth at Bethlehem, which was a hidden coming. His divinity was hidden from all of us as a little baby born in a stable. But this is the great unveiling, because Jesus will come again, not hidden, but his divinity will be unveiled, the heavens will be opened, and we will see Jesus in the fullness of his divinity and humanity. And so what does that mean for us? What can we do about it? Well, nothing but wait, really, because the great end of the world will not primarily be a moment of death and fiery destruction or something to be feared. Rather, it's primarily the moment that Jesus will return and be unveiled to our eyes. He came to save us. He's coming again to bring us home. That's what we should be concerned about. And so today's solemnity encourages us to celebrate and live out our faith, not just here in church, but in public. Christ isn't hidden. He's no hidden king. He's no trivial afterthought to our lives. He is king now and forever. And so we do celebrate today, the church does, the authority and kingship of Christ, not on a private level, but we proclaim it openly as a truth to all the world.